from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Polyglot Indonesia is part of Indonesian diplomacy. Having the same principle, Argentina expresses gratitude on Indonesia's election as United Nations Security Council member. And now the news in detail. Polyglot Indonesia again held Polyglot Indonesia National Gathering at Philatelic Building, Jakarta, on Sunday, July the 8th. Polyglot Indonesia is a community in Indonesia that accommodates people who have the ability to speak in several foreign languages, not only English. Director of Public Diplomacy, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Aziz Nurwahyudi, in his speech at the meeting said, Polyglot Indonesia is part of Indonesian diplomacy. According to Aziz, this community has an important role as a friendship agent or create people-to-people contact between Indonesia and people around the world.
Polyglot ini adalah agen persahabatan. Polyglot ini menjadi bagian dari diplomasi.
Polyglot is a friendship agent. Polyglot is a part of Indonesian diplomacy. Polyglot will be able to create more beautiful people-to-people contact. I have noticed that you have tremendous potential. You are polyglot people, mastering several languages. You are diplomats. When you communicate with other friends in other countries with their languages, you have created a friendship agency. You have created people-to-people contact. Aziz further hoped that members of Polyglot Indonesia are able to convey a message of peace to the world community and explain about Indonesia with all its hospitality, cultural diversity, and natural beauty through its language skills. It is also expected that the members of this community can contribute to some international events held in Indonesia, such as the Asian Games 2018 and the World Bank and International Monetary Fund IMF annual meeting. Indonesian President Joko Widodo told his ministers and heads of other government agencies to improve system of utilization of budget funds to stop the practice of waiting toward the end of year to start use the budget. President Joko Widodo said at a limited cabinet meeting discussing realization and prognosis of implementation of the 2018 state budget at the Bogor State Palace on Monday that he wanted all programs and strategic projects to be executed and completed as scheduled, but with good governance. The president also said he appreciated acceleration of development program and services to the people and 12.1% growth in 2018 budget spending by ministries and state agencies in the first half of 2018, far exceeding realization, which grew only 0.4% in the same period last year. The president reminded the ministers of the big challenges ahead, especially related to global economic uncertainties that calls for harder work and great focus on work to finish all programs as scheduled. The Embassy of Argentina in Jakarta held a reception of 202nd anniversary of National Day of Argentina in Jakarta on Monday, July the 9th. Ambassador of Argentina to Indonesia, Ricardo Luis Bocalandro, in his speech said that Argentina and Indonesia are partners which have similarity and close relation. The ambassador also said that Argentina and Indonesia have equality of value in the field of peace and international security. Therefore, Argentina expressed its gratitude as Indonesia is elected as non-permanent member of the UN Security Council.
Among those similarities I found that Indonesia and Argentina share is a profound respect for the main principles of the international community. Indonesia and Argentina fully respect the non-intervention, the territorial integrity principles, fully respect the solution of all international disputes through diplomacy and conversation and negotiation among friendly nations. So, we are extremely happy to know that Indonesia will now join the United Nations Security Council because we know the principle Indonesia respects, which are our principles.
The ambassador of Argentina, Ricardo Luis Bocalandro, further said that Argentina and Indonesia also have similarity as member of G20. G20 is a group of countries with the most significant economy. Leaders of the G20 countries will gather on G20 summit in Buenos Aires, Argentina, at the end of this year. Argentina will be pleasure to welcome President Joko Widodo's arrival. With the similarity of the two countries, Ambassador Ricardo Luis Bocalandro also hoped the relationship will be more increased in the future. Ambassador Bocalandro moreover said that Indonesia's first President Sukarno is one of the founders, as one of the founders of the non-aligned movement, has also visited Argentina. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph R. Donovan Jr. has said that he has talked to a number of Indonesian ministers about 124 Indonesian products listed in the Generalized System of Preferences, or GSP. Ambassador Donovan in Batam, Riau Islands on Monday evening, on the sidelines of a celebration for U.S. Independence Day, said that what the United States of America is doing is to increase trade with Indonesia, both exports and imports. The important thing is that the United States of America works together to increase trade and economic ties between the two countries. Previously, Sofian Wanandi, an expert staff member to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, said President Donald Trump had warned the government about Indonesia's trade surplus with the world's largest economy. Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto said the country was reviewing how Indonesia benefited from export tariff cuts through the GSP. Roughly 10% of Indonesian products would be affected if the U.S. went ahead with its plan to remove 124 products from the system. This news comes to you over RRL Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is aiming to strengthen the Indonesian manufacturing industry and secure big investment projects in the face of global uncertainty and a trade war. On Monday, after attending a more than four-hour cabinet meeting at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java, Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto said the government would guarantee the supply of raw material to manufacturing industries. The government would also ease the import tax burden to help the export-oriented industry be more competitive. On investment, the government would provide incentives to labor-intensive industries that relocated their factories, like those from West to Central Java, due to cheaper manufacturing costs. Erlangga said that it would also give incentives to small and medium enterprises. He added that President Joko Widodo also requested minister to carry out a study on the production of 30% biodiesel blending or B30 blending because the upgrade of B20 to B30 blending would increase the use of biodiesel by 500,000 tons per year. The expansion of the commodity for domestic use is needed due to the increasing protectionism policy by the traditional market for Indonesian palm oil products. And the last item, Croatian Midfielder Luka Modric declared that his team will face very crucial match against England in semi-final round of World Cup 2018 on Thursday. He believed that his team must be watched out on that ball scheme belonging to Gareth Southgate's team on Monday, July 9. Modric, who has played in England along with Tottenham Hotspur, estimated that currently England has very strong players in the aerial dual shoot. From 11 goals which have been created by England, 8 goals were from that ball scheme. Croatia versus England match will hold on early Thursday, July 12 at 1 a.m. Western Indonesia time. In addition, according to Modric, one of keys of success of England is compact game performed by Harry Kane and his friends. He is not patient to face England. Modric recognized his team currently feels great pressure, but he assured that greater pressure is felt by British players to advance to the 2018 World Cup final round. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Polyglot Indonesia is part of Indonesian diplomacy. Sharing the same principle, Argentina expresses gratitude on Indonesia's election as United Nations Security Council member. And listener, that was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Constitutional Court Start Addressing the 2018 Election Dispute. Simultaneous regional head election, Pilkada throughout Indonesia, has been successfully implemented on 27 June. From 171 regions that held the election, Indonesian General Election Commission (KPU) has received a recapitulation of votes counting from 111 regions. The candidate pairs have 3 days to file an objection to the result of the recapitulation to the Constitutional Court (MK). Until Saturday, 7th of July, there had been 9 lawsuits of dispute election results 2018 that are registered to the MK. The 9 lawsuits come from 5 cities. They are Cirebon, Madiun, Gorontalo, Parepare, and Tegal. And there are 3 regencies, Bangkalan, Biak Numpur, and North Balaan, Mangundo. Of the 9 lawsuits, there are only 2 that fulfill the requirements of Article 158 of Law Number 10/2016 on regional head election. The article states that the election dispute lawsuit can only be filed, as said, filed if the plaintiff's winning vote with the winner of the election reaches a maximum of 2%. The 2 regions that qualify for the dispute are Cirebon and Tegal. However, Chief of the Constitutional Court Anwar Usman confirmed that all the lawsuits of the dispute to the Constitutional Court will pass through the stages of registration, preliminary examination, the improvement of the lawsuits, and the examination of the parties. Since the implementation of the 2017 regional head election, the Constitutional Court has been softer to the plaintiff of various disputes. A number of cases remain handled despite the difference of over 2%. At the time, the court gave verdicts for Tolik Karya, Intang Jaya, Yavent, and Puncak Jaya in Papua, although the difference between the candidate pairs in the area was striking. It is exactly right for the MK to implement the policy. Basically, what is applied by the Constitutional Court to examine a dispute has fulfilled the legal basis, not just the difference of the votes. There might be extraordinary circumstances at the time of the vote recapitulation or other substantial factors. The principle of justice and legal certainty should be the basis of all the Constitutional Court policy in resolving election disputes. Thus, disputes in the regions can be prevented because the Constitutional Court MK has been able to resolve any disputes. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with July the 10th, 1962. The world's first communication satellite Telstar is orbited into space. Telstar is the name of the communication satellite and is the first satellite to be orbited into space, an artificial satellite stationed in space for telecommunication purposes. The Telstar satellite marks a new era in electronic communication for successfully airing the world's first television broadcast. Telstar 1 was launched on a Delta Thor rocket on July 10, 1962. The event was delivered through space with the first television picture, phone call, and fax picture. Turning to July 10, 1985, the Greenpeace ship Rainbow Warrior 1, Rainbow Warrior 1 was bombed and drowned in the port of Auckland, New Zealand by a French DGSE secret agent. Rainbow Warrior 1 is one of the names for a series of ocean vessels operated by Greenpeace. Rainbow Warrior 1 is one of the 3 ships Greenpeace uses to run its action against environmental destruction. On July 10, 1985, Rainbow Warrior 1 was bombed by French secret agents as the ship docked in Auckland, New Zealand, preparing for a French nuclear test in Atoll Maroroa.
French secret agents planted two plastic wrap bombs, one on a ship's propeller and another on the outer wall of the engine room. The bomb finally exploded and drowned the Rainbow Warrior 1. A photographer named Fernando Pereira drowned along with the ship. Two French agents were arrested by the New Zealand police on charges of passport fraud and immigration fees. They were charged with burning, deliberate destruction, and murder. They finally pleaded guilty and were sentenced to 10 years in prison. After the bombing, Rainbow Warrior 1 was sent to Metauri Bay, Kavali Islands, New Zealand. I'll end today in history with July 10, 1991. Boris Yeltsin begins his duties as Russia's first president. Boris Nikolaevich Yeltsin made his first appearance for the position of President of the Russian Federation after being elected President of the Russian Soviet Socialist Republic on June 12, 1991 with 57% votes. Yeltsin became the first president directly elected in Russian history. The Yeltsin era is a dramatic period in Russian history, for at that time there was a revolutionary political change, a democracy, as well as a major political and social problem, one of which is rampant and open corruption. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our daily program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, today's topic is Pancasila as the solution to address civilization crisis. Indonesia will again hold the World Peace Forum on 14 until 16 of August 2018. The seventh meeting will be held on the theme, The Middle Path for the New World Civilization. The world civilization suffers accumulatively, erratically, and the world is in turmoil. This is the spirit to be overcome with the insight of our paradigm, namely the solution paradigm, watch from the perspective of religion and national ideology. In the meeting to be opened by President Joko Widodo, Indonesia will propose Pancasila as a solution to cope with the crisis of the world civilization. The President's Special Emissary for Interreligious Dialogue and Cooperation and Civilization, Din Syamsuddin, has explained recently that Indonesia is to take part in addressing the peace process. He views that the world civilization is trapped in extremities, especially absolute liberalism, which manifests itself in various aspects of life such as politics, culture, economy. Din Syamsuddin also explained that Indonesia has Pancasila. Pancasila liberalization as the solution, including the 1945 Constitution. Din Syamsuddin hopes that Pancasila becomes the consideration of the international community in addressing today's crisis of civilization. As quoted from Antara News Agency in Jakarta, Din Syamsuddin also pointed out that as the organizer, Indonesia wants to get involved in addressing the problems of the world civilization. Pancasila as the solution to overcome the crisis of civilization will be raised in the session to discuss the way out from the ideological perspective of the countries. Chairman of the 7th World Peace Forum Committee, Muhammad Najib, hopes that this initiative will make the world safer, more peaceful, and more prosperous in a bid to reduce the violence caused by the rise of extremism. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Polyglot Indonesia again held Polyglot Indonesia National Gathering at Philatelic Building, Jakarta on Sunday, July the 8th. Polyglot Indonesia is a community in Indonesia that accommodates people who have the ability to speak in several foreign languages, not only English. Indonesian President Joko Widodo told his ministers and heads of the government agencies to improve system of utilization of budget funds to stop the practice of waiting toward the end of year to start use the budget. Argentina Embassy in Jakarta held a reception of 202nd anniversary of Argentina National Day in Jakarta on Monday, July 9. Ambassador of Argentina to Indonesia, Ricardo Luis Bocalandro, in his speech said that Argentina and Indonesia are partners which have similarity and close relation. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph R. Donovan Jr. has said that he has talked to a number of Indonesian ministers about 124 Indonesian products listed in the Generalized System of Preferences, GSP. Ambassador Donovan in Batam, Riau Islands on Monday evening said on the sidelines of a celebration of U.S. Independence Day that what the United States of America is doing is to increase trade with Indonesia, both exports and imports. The Indonesian government is aiming to strengthen the Indonesian manufacturing industry and secure big investment projects in the face of global uncertainty and a trade war. On Monday, after attending a more than four-hour cabinet meeting at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java, Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto said the government would guarantee the supply of raw material to manufacturing industries. And the last item, Croatian midfielder Luka Modric declared that his team will face very crucial match against England in semi-final round of World Cup 2018 on Thursday. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya, namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
We deserve to be the one.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Puncak Bila Tourism Park. Stay tuned. Listener, some time ago, President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Wind Power Plant Project or PLTB in Watangpulu Village, Sidrap Regency, South Sulawesi Province. At the inauguration, President Joko Widodo expressed his admiration to the natural beauty of Watangpulu Hills with 30 windmills of wind power plants or PLTB. The president that the scene is like in the Netherlands. The existence of wind power plants or PLTB increasing the beauty potential of Siden Rengrapang Regency or Sidrap as a tourist destination in South Sulawesi. The district actually has diverse tourism potential. One of them that we will introduce this time is Taman Wisata Puncak Bila, or in English, Puncak Bila Tourism Park. Listener, Puncak Bila Tourism Park is located in Bila Mountains, Bila Sub-District, Sidrap Regency. Its location is 215 kilometers north of Makassar, the provincial capital of South Sulawesi, and from the capital of Sidrap Regency, about 36 kilometers from the east. The tourist attraction combines modern tourism with natural beauty. This is the main attraction for tourists who want to visit the object. Puncak Bila Tourism Area has been inaugurated as the best tourism destination of South Sulawesi in 2016 and has various interesting tourist modes. Listener, before arriving at Puncak Bila Tourism Park, you will pass the stretch of green rice fields and plantations. To enter the tourist site, you have to pay 15,000 rupiah for entrance fee on Monday to Friday, while 20,000 rupiah for Saturday and Sunday. During national holidays, tourists are charged 20,000 rupiah per person. When you come to Puncak Bila Tourism Park, you can enjoy various games such as water boom, flying fox for those who want to spur adrenaline challenge, grass track arena of ATV motors, and a vast expanse of lawns that can be used for camping. In Puncak Bila Tourism Park, there are also dozens of gazebos to unwind. There are also canoe boats that can be used to explore the lake, swimming pool with water flowing from the mountains, and fishing pond for those who like fishing. Listener, every game ride in Puncak Bila Tourism Area has its own tariff. For example, for Flying Fox, you have to pay a ticket of 15,000 rupiah per person, and for motor ATV, the ticket is 20,000 rupiah per person. Traveling to Puncak Bila Tourism Park, you are currently enjoying some new spots, such as photo spots, a 14.71 meters long and 7.15 meters tall giant bike. The giant bike photo spots are claimed to be the biggest bike in the world and has become the new icon of Puncak Bila Tourism Park. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Puncak Bila Tourism Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. I'm Putri Savitri Ardella. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? How old were you when you got married? Next is an example of a conversation on berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? How old were you when you got married? As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation was in Joko's family room. Tony and Dinda are looking at Joko and Dinda's wedding photo. Tony: berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Dinda: aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25. Oh ya, kapan kamu akan menikah? Tony: hahaha, saya tidak punya pacar, jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah. After listening to the conversation, I'll introduce some phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic, which is berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? How old were you when you got married? I'll say every sentence twice and you can follow after me. Berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Which means how old were you when you got married? Aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25. Aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25, which means I'm 21 and Joko 25. Pacar, pacar, which means boyfriend or girlfriend. Saya tidak punya pacar. Saya tidak punya pacar, which means I don't have a girlfriend. Jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah. Jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah, which means, so I don't know when I will get married. In the dialogue you heard, berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Which means, how old were you when you got married? The word waktu in the context of the sentence can be replaced with the word ketika. Berapa umur kalian ketika menikah? Berapa umur kalian ketika menikah? Which also means how old were you when you got married? The word waktu and ketika in the sentence is used to mark the same time. Example: saya menikah ketika berumur 21 tahun. Saya menikah ketika berumur 21 tahun, which means I got married when I was 21 years old. Dia pergi ketika hujan. Dia pergi ketika hujan, which means he leaves when it rains. Joko menelepon waktu saya sedang tidur. Joko menelepon waktu saya sedang tidur, which means Joko called while I was sleeping. Waktu kecil, apa cita-cita kamu? Waktu kecil, apa cita-cita kamu? Which means, when you were little, what was your dream? The word waktu is usually only used in a conversation, while the word ketika is usually used in formal situation or in writing. Furthermore, in answering Tony's question, Dinda said, aku 21 dan Joko 25. I was 21 and Joko was 25. In the variety of conversation, the dozens in the tens are often omitted. Example, 25, 25 or 25 becomes 25 or 25. 82, 82 or 82 becomes 82, 82 or 82. When chatting, sometimes Indonesians will ask about personal issues or questions such as about age, married or not, and also sometimes ask religion. Questions about this are considered normal by some Indonesians, although maybe for some other people are not. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation example once more. Tony, berapa umur kalian waktu menikah, Dinda? Aku 21 dan Joko 25. Oh ya, kapan kamu akan menikah? Hahaha, saya tidak punya pacar, jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah. After listening to the above conversation about how old were you when you got married, I'm going to give you an exercise which is, of course, related to the words you've learned today. It is to describe your own family by asking the following questions. How many members are there in your family? What number are you among the children? How many siblings do you have? What are the age differences between you and your siblings? Example. Anggota keluarga saya berjumlah 4 orang. Saya anak pertama dari 2 bersaudara. Saya mempunyai 1 adik laki-laki. Dia 2 tahun lebih muda daripada saya. That was Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia Today. Hopefully it will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. For exercise, you can send your voice recording. There will be an attractive gift for the lucky listener to be announced in November 2018. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow with another lesson. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Malay songs, so stay tuned.
Wahatiku, jantung berdiwa, wahatiku.
Listener, you've just listened to the Malay song Dodoy Si Dodoy by Betaria Sonata. The song from Jambi was usually sung by a mother in rocking her baby. Dodoy Si Dodoy is not only as an entertainer when the child is sleeping, but also as a means of mother to tell the story of her restlessness. The mother hoped through this song the child can listen and understand her anxiety. Betaria Sonata was not the first singer to popularize the song. There were many other Indonesian singers brought the song in their performance. The song Dodoy Si Dodoy was on the top of Dendang Melayu Daily album. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Mengapa Ku Tak Tahu by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening! Listener, just like the previous song, this song Mengapa Ku Tak Tahu also included in the top of Dendang Melayu Daily album. Composed by Hussein Aidit, the song tells the story of someone who has longing every day to the lover. He hoped to meet the lover someday in happiness. To conclude today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Tanjung Katung by Betaria Sonata. The song consists of poem lyrics which contain advices, while the music is cheerful, very suitable for swaying. Well, listener, Here is the song Tanjung Katung by Betaria Sonata. I'm Putri Savitri Adela. Happy listening and see you then.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. our Instagram voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.